Hello, everybody. How y'all doing? It's another Wizards Worldwide Work of Wonder, audio spectacular, by none other than the great king himself, Mr. Johnny Wizard, president and CEO of Sherwer Earth Co. As many people are aware, I'm trying to vie my way into the presidential debates. I feel that none of these people are qualified for the position they're competing for, and I want to deal directly with the truths that involve our lives and further suffering. So where shall we begin? With Pakistan. Musharraf says Al-Qaeda killed Benazir Bhutto. Well, the FBI's formal conclusion on Al-Qaeda is that the operations of 9/11 were financed by Mahmoud Ahmad. General Mahmoud Ahmad. The ISI General Mahmoud Ahmad. Musharraf, as the president of Pakistan, is directly in control of the ISI. That's the comparable to America's CIA. So the FBI's formal conclusion on who financed the terrorist strike of 9/11 in New York City, where thousands of Americans were murdered, was financed by Mr. Al-Qaeda, General Mahmoud Ahmad. He was responsible for the wire transfers of cash to the hijackers of question. The FBI aren't being anti-Bush. They're being pro-America. It just so happens Bush is responsible personally for closing investigations immediately after the terrorist atrocity occurring. And men in America do not exist. They're not men. They're like little Bush bitches. They're like getting it up the ass with Bush at the White House. So they can't face those truths. They're too cowardly. They like murdering innocent people instead to steal their money. They want to be like Bush. They want to sacrifice their own families. Sacrifice their own kids. They'll put neural toxins into the bloods of their own offspring to cause irreparable brain damage and speak nothing. They couldn't care less for their own offspring. That's what America is. But anyway, so Musharraf, by him telling us that Al-Qaeda killed Benazir Bhutto, is to say that he killed her himself. Because the guy who finances Al-Qaeda terrorist strikes was, at the moment of 9/11, the head. Not just a fledgling guy trying to make his way up the Nazi ladder. This guy was the head of the ISI, who is responsible for sending money so the 9/11 terrorists could commit their deed of mass murder in New York City. Thousands of Americans were murdered, don't you know? You know, so we got a problem in communication here. So the first thing is we need to demand the arrest of those who perpetrated the terrorist atrocity back in New York City. That's my first presidential argument. Who on these stages says otherwise? Really? No, I don't want to be angry with you. I'm just angry at myself because I can't figure out a better way to communicate this to you. What are you failing to understand? Bush closed investigations immediately. The guy who financed the operation has not gone anywhere but freely on his own to do whatever he wishes further. While NATO tells us they got to kill indiscriminately people in little towns and villages in Afghanistan because they might be connected to students. And they say it's top secret. We can't participate in their meetings, but they'll use the pejorative we all the time. We. It's we. But they don't want to ask us any questions or provide us answers to the conducts of their criminality. Canada spent more than $3 billion. So it's probably closer to four now. More than $3 billion. And Fife from CTV just came back from Afghanistan. He wanted to let us know, you know, they can't be bothered to fix anything. Anyway, you know, but again, it's a communication problem. You've been hypnotized by your television to say they're fighting for freedom in Afghanistan, where these soldiers and NATO most specifically, these people really truly have to be tried for war crimes, they're given lawyers, and then they're put to death. You have no justification for murdering all these innocent peoples. The Taliban has absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. Show me one piece of evidence, NATO, or we put them all to death. We'll arrest every single senior member of NATO. They will be tried and put to death. If they can't provide us one fucking thread of evidence connecting the Taliban to 9/11. How? None of the suspects are from Afghanistan. Bin Laden isn't connected to the terrorist atrocity in any which way possible, as that was the Bush administration's official top-secret presidential directive strategy. They couldn't have him connected to the terrorist action because then they wouldn't be able to invade Afghanistan. NATO minds, the minds of those at NATO are not qualified to war our worlds, okay? They say they can't comprehend those statements. There's too many syllables. I say because of that, they're arrested for war crimes and put to death. You know, they drop landmines in Afghanistan. They're fighting on behalf of the Northern Alliance heroin pushers. This isn't like they do to us. They say, oh, the Taliban were selling heroin. They'd lie to Allah. That's how they try to get around that. You can't. You can't. They're Muslim fundamentalists. If they say Allah doesn't want you to sell heroin on Canadian streets or American streets to put Americans in prison for 25 years, Allah isn't going to change his mind on that. But they'll lie. NATO will lie. And the Northern Alliance will tell us openly. I've seen at least five in-depth documentaries on this. Or film shots where they talk to these people. They go, of course we're selling heroin. The American facilities, all American facilities in Afghanistan are solely in their positions to defend poppy fields. The soldiers tell us that's what they're doing. We have video footage of them doing just that. We have PBS asking the soldier right on the ground in front of all the fucking dope pushers getting ready to get their next shipment off for Vancouver in Canada. They're talking to the soldier. They're saying, what the fuck are... Wait, he didn't say, what the fuck are you doing? Okay? He goes, why are you doing this? Do you see a problem here? Or something like that, right? Soldier says, well, we don't participate in this. We're not going to do anything to stop these guys from selling their heroin through Canada because... And the soldier says this, and I've also got this in textual formats from all sorts of different news organizations who have... Talk to soldiers similarly along these same veins, because you can't avoid this when you're in Afghanistan. You see all the dope getting put together, the soldiers guarding the farmers, right? And the soldier says to the reporter over and over again, in different contexts, but in the PBS instance, he says, the reason we let them sell the dope through Canada is because if we try to stop them, they'll kill us. They're armed by American military forces. They're armed by the Pentagon. The dope pushers are armed by the Pentagon. They have the most sophisticated weaponry we have at our disposal. They will kill us if we get in the way of them pushing dope on the streets in Canada. Now look at how NATO lies. These people have participated in the murder of more than a million people, innocent victims. And look at how they lie to us. They tell us the Taliban sell dope. Bullshit. You fucking demon liar. Bullshit. We have the guys in the government of Afghanistan openly confessing that they are indeed the dope pushers. The DEA is in Afghanistan to say specifically on videotape too. They've allowed these formalities to be videotaped even, and you can get a copy of this yourself to be blown away. But the DEA will tell you they're there not to touch the heroin being produced by the American military forces. Why? Because they don't want to get shot at. The soldier grunts themselves have no minds. They do not have minds to defend freedom. They're parasites. They only blindly obey criminal orders to victimize ourselves, hoping someday they can be a lawless mercenary disciple of the demon Antichrist, where they can rape American women. And American men will not utter a word in defense of their own wives, their own daughters, their own mothers. They will not make a fucking sound. Taliban is bad. America is good. You have lawless disciples of the demon Antichrist, and you're telling us, the world, you're good. Who in the presidential debate are dealing with these issues? You're saying, no, they're dealing with much more serious concerns. Okay, now what are all of these other concerns? You compare your healthcare service to any country. France, take on France's, well, I don't know all the details on expenses for France. I know in Canada, if America adopted the Canadian position tomorrow, everybody would have access to health care. See how your TV lies? See how your TV lies? Canada knows. All of Canadians, you know, again, people are stupid all over the place. You can't escape this. But in Canada, we do not have to stand in waiting rooms for weeks. Huckabee says it's weeks it takes for us to see a doctor in Canada. You know, if a guy needs an operation, has a heart attack at 3 o'clock, as was so articulated on Tom Hartman, can't remember all the details to this call, but I remember listening to it. You know, he'd had a heart attack. He was in the operating room 9 hours later, after it had been figured out that he needed immediate surgery. You know, when you have top priority issues dealing with our healths, we're looked at immediately. There are shortcomings. It's not perfect. But if you adopted that system tomorrow, you as an American would pay half as much as you pay the government today. The government comes to you and says, you're paying us for all these healthcare services. And you say, well, I guess I believe in a democracy and I'll have to pay for it because that's what you're saying the money is used for. And you're being billed twice as much as Canadians are. You don't get anything for that. All that money disappears, hocus pocus. You don't want to learn how the tricks are done. You just want to be amazed by all the incredible food and gold and palaces and yachts that are on your television. You know, so if you adopted it tomorrow, you'd pay half as much and everybody would have access to health care. Instant health care. Now, there's liabilities to these. There's always pros and cons. You know, the liability is that you get free access to dope. You know, so you got to have controls. And in America, I can just imagine everybody will go get free dope. You know, right now you're paying all your cash for dope. Can you imagine what it would be like, American? So that's a problem. You go, no, that would be a good thing. You know, they want to keep you doped up. So that's part of the liabilities in adopting a Canadian system overnight. You'd have to be a little more careful because Americans are stupider. You know, they have no concern to defend their own offspring. Remember, you know, their child gets mercury inoculated with mercury and they can't. There are people that scream, you know, but how many out of 300 million people, you know? And why? Because there's all these different issues. People are having a difficult time setting priorities and there's no leadership present. We get these things that are close to leadership. You know, I want to work with Alex Jones. If I get a show on Coast to Coast where we have open lines, I want Alex Jones there to give his mind on these issues. But he can't have the cutoff switch because there's a lot of issues that he's just wrong on. You know, socialized medicine is a stupid phrase. You've used no thought. You're just, it's an excuse to hide from those that are wiser than yourself. So you can't be able to cut off people. He's a socialist. Well, you know, we have extreme right-wing people in China that are called socialists. Okay? They like killing people and stealing their body organs. Okay? Slave labor abounds. They put lead in. How does lead get in everything there? There's no controls to defend the Chinese people. The socialist government couldn't give a rat's ass about the great Chinese people. Right? Why aren't they defending their rights to be healthy? Why would there there's no regulations on anything to defend air quality, and so on and so on and so on. Okay? In Cuba, they call it a socialist. Of course, Castro, in his later years, several years ago, he says, okay, forget it, you can call me something else then. But for decades, Castro would say he was a socialist. But in Cuba, their democratic elections are greater than America's has ever been. You know, everybody votes there. Castro has no authority over municipal governmental affairs. Even national affairs, he didn't say much either. He's just there as a symbol more so. But in that socialist environment, everybody has a say and a vote. Not like in America. You know, you have the GOP head in Kansas, Republican, he is publicly bragging about how they're fixing the next upcoming elections. They've already got it fixed. You know, before Bush, through Clinton, that would be called a criminal offense. He would be tried for treason, and in all likelihood, you know, spend the rest of his life behind bars or be put to death. You'd give him a lawyer. He'd have a lawyer. We could hear his story. But that's supposed to be a criminal act. He's bragging about it to his friends. And that's, you know, who in America wants to be a part of that political philosophy? Don't let anybody vote. Yeah, join our party. You have no say here. We're going to sell out to whoever can bribe us the most cash to sacrifice our kids to. You know, like Eli Lilly with your mercury. It's $11,000. You ask the doctor at your school in America, why are you causing my child irreparable brain damage with a neural toxin, scientifically known so? There's no debate here whatsoever. The great Honorable Alex Jones, several months ago, might have been a year or so ago, it's been a little bit of a while, but he had photographs that a scientist had, I guess, submitted to his site showing you can actually physically see mercury destroying neurons of brain tissue physically with an electron microscope. I mean, it's a poison. It just kills your mind. And the guys who do this, if you ask them at the schools, they'll say, well, I certainly wouldn't do it to my own kid, but I'll do it to your kid. I get $11,000 for this. And just as everybody who supports libertarians, everybody who supports Republicans, anybody who's a so-called right-winger, all they want is bribes to kill ourselves with. They're not interested in justice. Name one right-wing party that supports justice in our world that actually says we need evidence to form our conclusion. Give the suspect the lawyer so we can be sure we're making the proper judgment calls on nabbing real bad guys. Evildoers who murder people for financial profit should be a top priority. Not for right-wingers. No, right-wingers want to go after poor and the disabled. You know, people who get... You know, this is the thing. Ron Paul's got so many great positions, and then he loses terribly because he'll support something like welfare as a detriment to our survivals. When you think about it, it's such a tiny percentage of expenditures. Where's Ron Paul on the no-bid contracts? Why don't you demand justice for those individuals? Right-wingers don't do that because they know they could be challenged there. The welfare mother, she's not going to say anything. She's got no power. And right-wingers can be all authoritative, beating down these fictions they manifest in our minds on their broadcasts. You know, even if the welfare mother wanted to call, CNN never takes our calls. CBC never takes our calls. Fox News never takes our calls, but every single day reports that they do. This is critical. If we could understand this, our worlds could be saved. You know, doubt is ever present, but realize they do this to us every day. General Ahmad, I've been going on about for, you know, since the terrorist act went down, and realize they don't want to take my call. They don't want to talk about it. It's not important. And look at how many people are murdered. And CBC will still say they're taking our calls. I phoned every single employee of CBC in Toronto. You know, hundreds or more than 1,000 phone numbers. Phone them personally. Sometimes I phone them at home. Say, what are you doing? You know, and I get this from the newspapers. I get this from the radio stations. Who do you think you are? You're using wisdoms that are, we're not supposed to address adroitly, because if we did, bad guys would go to prison. And Bush would be fucking dead for committing mass murder on 9/11 with Cheney, according to the evidence trail. We can't allow you to speak that way. But these positions, we hold indivisibly so, no matter who we are. It's the formal conclusion of the FBI. That'll never disappear. It'll never go away. It'll always be there. America, for as long as humanity survives, will always be looked at as a culture that couldn't care less for the human species. God begs and pleads. Put in 5 minutes. Can't you pick up your telephone? 300 million people. They won't put in a concern. And more than a million people are murdered. They say they're freedom fighters stealing all Iraqi resources. All this money is gone out the door, and they make no calls to demand an inquiry. We don't need inquiries. We need officers of our laws to enforce the protections that we share, so we don't have to continually die this way. Okay, so it sounds simple, right? But it's not. We realize that we don't have the enforcement capabilities. We have the committed officers, but the FBI shut down. The RCMP shut down. During the Chrétien administration, what they decided to do was go after the corporate crime division of the RCMP. Now, these were the most knowledgeable on corporate crime in Canada in our police services nationally. So these were our best minds on corporate crimes. And the Liberal government dissolved the entire operation. They were offered jobs in private industries so they could go work for Monsanto. But this operation is ceasing. And it was reported by, I think it was CBC, might have been the Maclean's magazine too, but they were talking about how in Ontario they have backlogs of corporate criminality that go back more than a decade, solely specifically because there's nobody to investigate the crimes. Okay, now we have all these officers, or we had all these officers, you know, they were offered, you know, double salaries. So you're going to get a whole bunch of extra cash if you go work for Monsanto. There's no real criminal impropriety. You as an officer can't even really bitch and complain, you know. You can maybe say, you know, I don't know whether this is going to serve our national interests, but it really isn't your position. You expect and accept that our national interests are being politically represented. And generally speaking, of course, you know, they sort of are, you know, a lot better than it is in America. In America, they just openly thieve from the populace and smile. And the populace goes, yeah, take us for more. But we can see there's no officers in place to arrest those who tortured innocent people they kidnapped. In America, that deserves the life term prison sentence or death under American law, standing law today, the War Crimes Act. And there's actually there's an anti-torture act that I haven't even read yet that somebody was recently telling me about that covers this also. But the War Crimes Act, it says right in there, it don't matter who you torture, you know. But who's going to enforce those laws? It has to be enforced by the Bush administration. You know, it's like the RCMP in Canada when they pursue criminal leads in respect to the lottery revenues. They're halted because the investigation has to be conducted through the provincial government. And it's the provincial government that is hiding this criminality. Now, when it first began, nobody could be really founded at fault because it was sort of hidden. You couldn't figure it out. You needed a mathematician to actually kind of show you where it's at if you work out the math. Okay, now, people like myself did that more than a decade ago, okay, and it's because this criminality was available in the early beginnings as need to know, now it's pervasive everywhere you look, and they're robbing us all over the place, okay, and it's very similar, the mathematics scams, it is a magic trick. You know, I'm like showing you some magic tricks, okay? But these magic tricks actually cost real people's lives and destroy our societies. If you understand the mechanisms at play and understand what's going on, you know, we want 100% payouts. We want accountability. Those who say you can't have accountability through our public affairs of governing should be looked at as traitors. These are traitors. They say it's private confidential information that we own as intellectual property that you can't look at. Okay? Now, knowledge is a very curious thing because I know exactly what they're thinking and what the math is, and yet they haven't provided me their top secret knowledge. I was able to obtain it on my own, separate from their authority, to tell me where my mind can or cannot go freely. Mathematics is a fantastic thing to get into. If you've got the time, now's not really the time. We have so many more critical issues that need to be addressed. If not, they continually destroy our society. You know, they're poisoning our children. Because all this poison they're putting in our foods. We want a ban on aspartame right now. And realize, people who do use it are addicted to it, okay? I've spoken to several people. You know, they're our friends. They're our families. They're our wives. They're our husbands. People are addicted to aspartame. Okay, but it's a neurotoxin, okay? It's not a good thing. It's ant sting poison and breaks down methanol and formaldehyde. Methanol is toxic. Formaldehyde, not a good thing. Okay? Plus, it mimics sugar to the extent that it causes your body to think and crave carbohydrates. So it actually makes you fatter by screwing up your system so severely. So why are we doing it? Speaking on indivisible, eternal principles. A person accused of a criminal offense without any evidence is innocent. Hammurabi, the founder of our civilization, just ordered, as his first law ever recorded, to just kill capital false accusers. What is in Sean Hannity's mind to lie to you like he does? You know, he tells you, Ahmadinejad said the Holocaust never happened. That's a demon fucking lie. He wants to kill us. Now, you're saying, yeah, but he wants to kill anybody and all people for his personal financial gains. True, but there are people that support him. Well, those people that support Sean Hannity die as a consequence to their own fucking irrationalism. Why would you support killing people indiscriminately to help escape the neocon enemies? It's only through a faith. It's only through them stealing the rights of free human beings that anyone would dare argue that to my face. They're enemies of all human life. They're enemies of America. Ian Punnett is trying to get you to believe things that clearly aren't true. He doesn't want you to be free that way. He doesn't like the idea of justice surviving its onslaught of criminality through the Bush regime and ultimately the human spirit triumphing over war criminals. He doesn't like that. He senses that that's where we want to go, but he doesn't want you to go there. No, he wants you to support their escape, their further escape. You know, if you're committed to freedom, let's challenge ourselves. They don't give you any challenges to face. This mortgage crisis, it's too complicated. You know, don't try to worry yourselves about the fact that they're estimating 20 million people are going to lose their homes in totality, at least. You know, they've already taken possession of more than 2 million. They're looking at another 2 million this year, but they're saying it's going to snowball. Now, don't you think it's kind of peculiar? You know, you're suffering in a crisis, but the bankers are, you know, zillionaires practically. Hedge fund managers are paying themselves salaries in excess of $1.5 billion, a salary. And Ian Punnett says it's too complicated. They deserve it. They earned that money. And don't you dare ask that they pay a fair tax either. Because that's not a subject worth discussing either. So as these mechanisms of true evil in your world of America continue to eat away at your souls, you're left powerless because you won't make the effort to speak for yourself. Now, how hard is it, man? You have a telephone. Why can't you phone talk radio? Why is this the problem? I don't understand. Don't you have something to bitch and gripe about? Two, understand those who are committed to getting on talk radio. CGOB is an excellent radio station to look at here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. They got like five regular callers, extreme right-wing, kill-the-human philosophies that don't make any sense, that support the further victimization of our community so they can privately profit off our suffering. We're really suffering. You know, we're being criminally victimized by the radio station that forbids us to the knowledge to understand. The VLT revenues are tabulated through a bogus mathematical construct that can allow them to take any percentage of the deposited dollar and promise any return. They could promise a return of 99.999%. And CGOB will still take their cut with free helicopters. The people that work at the lottery get free cars. Now, the CGOB goes, it's too complicated. People don't want to be challenged that far. They'd rather just ensure that this regressive state continually eats away at our community. Now, in Winnipeg, 15 years ago or so, people had tons of money. All the bars were packed every day of the week, practically. There were always parties to go to on the weekends. Weekdays, you'd catch a party or two. On the weekends, you get lists of like 20 places to go after hours. Okay, we at that time were a bit more of a party city than we are today. Today, the bars are all empty. Nobody's got any money. You know, not empty, but I mean, there's certainly not the same amount of money on the streets as there was then. And plus, we have other situations that are regressive included that America probably can't even believe. Do you know how much they charge for a pack of cigarettes here? It's like $10 a pack. Okay, so if you're addicted to cigarettes and you're an older person, perhaps you've been smoking for 30 years, what the cigarette manufacturers did is they put a more addictive form of nicotine in addition to thousands of chemicals that are only in the tobacco to apparently kill us and have you addicted in all these different restraining mechanisms, chemically so. So we had a guy in the government. He put forward a bill in the federal government of Canada. He said, look, I want to pass a law here. I want to make it a law that cigarette companies can't just put any kind of chemical in the tobacco to apparently kill ourselves. There's got to be some explanation as to why they're putting the most lethal chemicals in these cigarettes to murder us. How are they profiting off this? Let's pass a law and demand some explanation be made or be found. Okay? Now, nobody would support his bill, and it was defeated. It was defeated. The bill in the Canadian Parliament was defeated that demanded an explanation. You're purposefully putting in some of the most addictive chemical properties into a cigarette to ensure that we're hooked and paying $10 a pack. It makes bad sense economically speaking, because the people that are smoking in positions of lower than middle class standings end up destroying the very upper class, middle class people's businesses also, because they're not spending their money anywhere else. So if the Canadian government truly cared for the health of Canadians, they would too demand an explanation as to why these chemicals are there present. Why do you want to murder ourselves like this? We want an explanation. Maybe there is an explanation, possibly. But we know that the cigarette companies have put us into a position where we're more addicted than ever, and the government's just bleeding us dry. Because it doesn't make good sense, economically speaking, if we're thinking about how we are going to survive as a community, if we're just taking regressive positions. We want to reach for sustainability. I know it's a dream that's almost impossible, you know, because it requires intelligence from all people. People have to be smart enough to understand it. It won't work under any kind of other situation. We want to reach for sustainability, and that's always been a struggle. But now we've taken these active positions of regression through criminality of where we're supposed to be just blinded. You're never going to have an opportunity to understand what the lotteries in your province or state are doing with our monies. Good economics in respect to lotteries should have us paying ourselves 100% payouts, and the costs of operating these facilities will be paid for through other taxes. I've suggested prior a banker tax to run the lotteries, but every single dollar has to be accounted for as prize winnings back to those middle-class families, back to those lower-income communities that could use a big infusion. If the family sticks around, there's no requirements by anybody to any means in a free land, a free society. But this can only bring betterments to our communities. Instead of in the States, as Canadians probably aren't aware, in the States when they win a lottery, they don't really win it. You know, they get to do the big celebrations and they hand the big check over. But, well, you know, it's over like 150 years. And if you die, well, sorry, you know, and then we got all these other rules. And then you're not going to get any interest on the deposit. But we will as private bankers who have this fucked up deal with the state where we just bleed you too. And we don't say anything either. And it's so profitable. You know, they're stealing all our cash, and government people who argue in defense of this fucking lunacy will say, no, it's good, then you pay less tax, and the government takes in more revenue. No! The government's not supposed to be taking in revenue outside of successful exchanges of goods and services amongst ourselves, using the same currency as a reflection of our values. If the economy is doing poor and we're not producing, we shouldn't be paying the same amount of tax. We're suffering here. Lower our bird. You know, we got $38 billion in surplus. We want to halt to all payments on outstanding debts owed to the Bank of Canada, because we got to understand what we're doing here. The Bank of Canada is a federal bank. Why is not the Bank of Canada opening up branches all across Canada where we don't get charged any ATM fees and get a half-decent return on our savings deposit? Why wouldn't we do that as the government of Canada? Why do we have middlemen there? You know, in the States, it's pure middlemen, right from the top to the bottom. Well, not if you follow Johnny Wizard, though. Johnny Wizard says the top is at the federal branch of the Treasury, is where that currency is created out of the value held by all dollars currently in the marketplace when that process occurs. It's a function of the federal government. So you don't, the national debt owed that America bankers boastfully brag about going on into infinity without any mathematical possibility of paying back ever, they'll tell you that that money you owe them. No, they owe America that money. They owe the people that cash. We didn't borrow it from them. They borrowed it from us. And that's the nature of a banker. All private bankers are like this to one degree or another. They're scamming you because you don't understand, man. You know, if the banker's not putting forward any collaterals, not covering the loan that this person took out on a property, and then the banker says, well, we're foreclosing on you now because your payments jumped from $700 to $1,200 because we've committed a whole bunch of banker fraud and the value of our bank has gone down the tube, so we raise your rates, and now you got to pay us $1,200 a month, and if you don't have that cash, we're going to foreclose on that property. Do you people understand the bank has not put down a penny in this interaction here? It didn't have to cover the money that it paid out for this overpriced house. Okay, so they've run this scam where you got like the tiniest little houses. They're like sheds. They are. In fact, one of them is, it looks just like a shed, okay? It's like $976,000 to buy this house. It's for sale right now. There's some great websites that show you these properties where the banker's done this, and of course they're doing it back and forth amongst themselves. The nature of the banker at the top of the pyramid is the same as it is at the bottom. At the top of the pyramid, the banker's going, borrow me $200 million. Okay, thanks. You know what? I've got all my money plus $200 million. Can you borrow me like $500 million? I'm good for it. Look at all the cash I got. Okay, now he's got $700 million. He goes to a banker. He says, look, I got $700 million. Borrow me some money. And now while they're borrowing and passing all this money back and forth with the hedge fund market, guys, they're collecting all the real cash to put in the Cayman Islands or wherever. They don't have to pay taxes even, right? They're taking all this cash. You're left with the credits, right? And now they're going, oh, the thing's collapsing. We're stealing all your cash. We're stealing all your property. You have no rights in this situation. The government's bailing us out when they say they're giving the market liquidity. You're pumping more money into the pockets of these bankers. And where's all this charity money going to save the industry? Into their pockets. You still lose your house. You're not going to get no deal here. In fact, what Bush has done, though, well, here's a step that Bush did do. He says try to hide all these prices of houses. So they're trying to go through the market right now. And like I told you, these houses, they're a shed. It's like almost $1 million to buy. You got no view. In fact, you know, your neighbor is about 8 inches away from you. You got two cement walls on both sides of the shed. It's almost $1 million, man. And now Bush says, we're going to forgive them by dropping all the prices of all that, and now the bank won't be at a loss because the bank can write all that off, and all that stuff doesn't matter. And yet, for the reasons these properties are so overpriced is because the bank's been selling them back and forth amongst themselves, with prices increasing after increase, and pocketing all their bonus cash, all their commissions. You know, like, what is it? I've never understood this. Even when I was a child, I never understood this. Why, when somebody sells your house, do they get like 7% or 14% or whatever? Standard is, what is it, 4%? you know, your life is this property, and this guy who sells it is going to take like 14% for himself because it's a standard rate, man. Is that not hypnosis? Is that not irrationalism? Is that? But look at how many people do this. They go, well, that's how it works. And then the realtor guy's like a billionaire or something. Well, I don't know how many billionaire realtors there are. There's probably a few, though. And they go, yeah, well, what a sweet deal. I'm able to get all these people that give me all their money. But, you know, that's not a criminal. I'm not saying that that's criminal. I'm just saying it's stupid. We should be able to figure out a better way to engage ourselves, monetarily speaking. The experts come in and do shit to you, and you go, well, I'm supposed to pay the bank all my life, even after death, forever, because there's no way we'll ever pay back this fake bullshit. You know, the numbers just, even if they halted the numbers, they can't do it. You know? So who owes who what? So that's part of my presidential debate. I want to know who owes who. Who here says America owes them whatever, $50 billion and up? Let's just hear what their story is, okay? And if it's, you know, okay, I mean, I'm not saying we don't pay them. I'm saying let's just understand, and, you know, make some concrete understandings on what the fuck is going on. Who? You know, they go a whole bunch of little people. That, you know, have you heard about the house situation? These people are still losing their houses, and yet it's reported that the bankers can't even tell us who holds the value of these mortgages. So they can't even tell us who the person who is living in a home they purchased through a mortgage owes money to. They say, can't figure it out. They don't want you to figure it out, right? But they say they can't figure it out, but yet still the person loses their home. Like, again, it's just a slap in the face, man. You know, they can't even tell you who owes who what, but the guy we know for sure who has a mortgage due will take his house. We have no justification to support our faulty conclusion that he somehow owes us this cash outstanding, but we'll take it from him. We've got the authority. I mean, who's more in charge of what's going on this plane but the President of the United States? You know, I'm just trying to coast with what's going on. We're overwhelmed all over the place. This Bush administration continues huge criminal assault after huge criminal assault, and it's hard to deal with these issues because they're so humongous in their nature, and that's how they try to escape our proper acknowledgement on who an enemy here amongst us is. He closed criminal investigations, George Walker Bush did personally, with Cheney, on the outstanding questions of the 9/11 terrorist controversy immediately after it went down in New York City, where thousands of Americans were indiscriminately murdered. He closed those investigations immediately, according to Tom Daschle on Tim Russert's show Meet the Press. Transcripts available. Now, what kind of evidence do you need? So what kind of evidence do you need? You know, what's going on is all human beings can form doubt in our minds. We can go, well, maybe not, man. You know, no matter what the evidence is. Okay, but Bush, he says, yeah, all those people, or, you know, those of NATO, they go, all the people over there deserve to be murdered because they're Taliban. And you ask them, well, what is a Taliban? That you're fighting on behalf of a Muslim fundamentalist regime that openly pushes heroin into Canada, and they practice Sharia law. Women are being oppressed, so they report. And soldiers are just indiscriminately shooting people, as occurred just maybe 6 months ago. 6 miles of just indiscriminately shooting innocent people walking down the street. And NATO's got no bitching and griping to be stated publicly in our defense. No, they watch us die this way, smiling, telling us they are we. If you listen to a press conference of NATO, go to NATO, I can't remember the NATO.IL or something like that. Just go to their website or get a transcript of their press briefings. You know, it's always the same game. They'll do top secret decision making behind closed doors without you allotted a space to understand. They're not seeking your opinion. They don't want to know what you have to say or what anyone else has to say. They're going to fight these wars privately behind closed doors. Okay, and we are expected to just blindly obey them. If you're a part of their clique, you just blindly give in to their authority. And they don't make this disclose this information publicly. It's top secret stuff. And So I listened to this thing. I couldn't believe it. You know, these experts of warfare meet 3 times a year to discuss further plans. You know, that's not what the war is about. The war is fucking on the ground, day to day. Why are you bombing people indiscriminately? Their excuses don't add up. The Taliban's got nothing to do with 9/11, you demon fuck. You see how they lie? They say they're us. They all speak in the pejorative we. Of course, you don't participate and they're not asking, but they take that title. Right, but don't support the arrest of those who committed the terrorist atrocity in New York City, General Mahmoud Ahmad. President Musharraf was directly in control of the ISI during the terrorist events of question. Ian Punnett will tell America, you've got a war and die for the neocon because Al-Qaeda might someday be in possession of nuclear weapons. Musharraf has been in possession of nuclear weapons. NATO doesn't like that truth. They'd rather kill people indiscriminately, telling us about fantasies. So this is why NATO is an enemy force against the civilizing world. They do not support justice for our communities or a position stance to defend women's rights in Afghanistan. Start defending women, you Nazi fucks. Blackwater raped an American woman. We want NATO to go after Blackwater. Kill these fucks. They have no excuse. They're there as private mercenaries who claim they can't be held accountable to the lives of our precious loved ones they will victimize, as they've done repeatedly. Blackwater, you know, I was just researching some of Blackwater. You know, I recall, well, weren't they kicked out of Iraq already? And yes, indeed, they were. They indiscriminately killed a bunch of people before, and before, and before. That's all they do. They need to be put to death for those crimes. They're first-degree acts of murder. NATO's got nothing to say. NATO's got nothing to say in defending Christian rights. The Nazis in Afghanistan wanted to put to death a man simply because he claimed he believed in Christ the Son of Man, as articulated throughout the Quran. The Quran is about Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, is throughout the entire Testament, over and over and over again. What are these children learning in the madrasa? You have to interpret. You have to understand. It isn't to memorize. I'm not saying that that's totally useless, but the teaching there is that you're the perceiver. You're making delineations on definitive meanings through the process of opening and closing statements. Allah is all the Quran. You can't comprehend it. You can't even comprehend one of my simple statements. You need evidence to form your conclusion. You can't even comprehend that. Some people can, okay? Some people can. But we can see, like, you know, I estimate it's about 85% of the population. They have no abilities to form their own free thoughts. That's why they love to go to the football games and pay $100 a seat and pay $5 for watered-down draft beer. They want that. That's their security blanket. They don't have to face the big world of life and our challenges. They don't want life to be a challenge. They want it to be, you know, I don't know, a hole in the ground where they can just get high on dope and ignore everybody else's concerns. You know, and this is what's wrong with a lot of religion, particularly in America. You're told just be happy. Never mind what anybody else is suffering with. It's all about you, personally. How much can you get out of this deal? You know, these TV preachers. I mean, anybody who's familiar with hypnosis can see that that is what's taking place here. Peter Power, he's hypnotizing these people. Well, great. But it's not going to guarantee their successful cure to debilitating diseases. We understand the mechanisms, some of the mechanisms of hypnosis. That's exactly what he's doing. Why would God grant him special rights over you, a person who believes in God? Why has Peter Power's got his own fucking hypnosis game going down. But Peter Popoff, why are the other guy who sells the green cloth, you know, the Mormon religion, nobody pays attention to these things. I don't understand. The Mormon religion is about the temptations of Satan to Adam and Eve. And Satan tricks them into thinking God is in a handkerchief. So they wear their sacred special underwear that'll get them to the keys of heaven to become gods greater than everyone else. Well, that's just foolish and dumb. How could you possibly believe that? God is wise, not stupid. And then, you know, the sad thing about it is part of their religion is that they end up being sacrificed for being so dumb. But, you know, I don't say, you know, to each his own. Believe whatever you want, whatever religion. Be an atheist, as long as you don't infringe on other people's free rights to do likewise. So, I'm taking a presidential stand. I want to debate these debates. They're not qualified, man. First of all, if we're going to have any kind of real debate, we have to recognize that the elections have been fixed. Okay, it's not a theory. We have all the evidence. Different people have gone to jail or gotten $500 fines. I mean, it's fully documented how they fixed these elections. Listen.
Mr. Curtis, would you please state your full name for the record?
My name is Clinton Eugene Curtis.
And where do you reside?
Tallahassee, Florida.
And what is your profession?
I'm a computer programmer.
Would you please speak into the microphone so the audience can hear your testimony?
I'm a computer programmer.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I work for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And when you say did just that, it would rig an election?
It would flip the vote 51-49 to whoever you wanted it to go to and whichever race you wanted to win.
And would that program that you designed be something that elections officials that might be on county boards of elections could detect?
They'd never see it.
Mr. Would you answer that question once again?
They would never see it.
So how would such a program, a secret program that fixes the election, how could it be detected?
You would have to view it either in the source code or you'd have to have a receipt and then count the hard paper against the actual vote total. Other than that, you won't see it.
All right, Mr. Curtis, if you had been asked, you or others with your professional expertise had been asked to design a protective program that would protect the Ohio elections from against such software to fix the election, could you have done so?
If we'd been asked to make a program that could fix the election, sure, anybody can do it.
No, could you have designed a program or a procedure or a protocol that would have protected Ohio against this kind of rigging?
No, you have to look at the source code. You have to get probably programmers from both or all parties to look at the source code and determine if there's anything in there that shouldn't be there. I mean, it's a simple program. You're adding one to a person's total. It's 100 lines of code tops.
All right. Are you aware of whether there was any protective action in Ohio against this kind of vote rigging through software?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You were not asked to assist in the development of any protective system, is that correct?
No, I was not.
In Europe, have you reviewed at all the election results in Ohio?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Given the availability of such vote rigging software and the testimony that has been given under oath of substantial statistical anomalies and gross differences between exit polling data and the actual tabulated results, do you have an opinion whether or not the Ohio presidential election, was hacked?
Yes, I would say it was. I mean, if you have exit polling data that is significantly off from the vote, then it's probably hacked.
And your testimony is under oath?
Yes, sir.
And the testimony you've given is true?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Waters and I have the same question. Back to the podium. did you say you were asked to prepare?
I was asked by Tom Feeney. He's now a congressman. At that time, he was Speaker of the House of Florida, Yang Enterprises, which is the company I work for, lobbyists, and their corporate attorneys. He wore a lot of hats.
And at the time, he was the Speaker of the House of Florida. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Congressman.
You say he was the lobbyist for the voting machine company at the same time he was Speaker of the House?
I don't know what the voting machine company is. He was a lobbyist for Yang Enterprises. We had NASA contracts. And
Yang Enterprises did what? Computers?
Computers.
Okay, and he was your lobbyist, your company.
A lobbyist for that company, yes.
And he asked you to design a code to rig an election?
Yes.
While he was Speaker of the Florida House?
Yes.
This was during or previous to the 2000 election?
Yes, October, end of September.
And did he ever express why he wanted a code to rig an election?
No, I immediately assumed that they were trying to keep you guys from cheating them. So I wrote up the documentation of what you would look for in the source code, how you would make sure that you didn't get, taken advantage of, make sure that all voting machines had receipts, because that way you could back count the ones that looked a little funny. And I handed it over.
By receipts, you mean a paper trail?
Yes, paper trail. And I handed that in to Mrs. Yang and said, here's your report, here's your program. And she said, you don't understand, we need to hide the fraud in the source code.
Hide the fraud, not reveal the fraud.
Not reveal the fraud, because it needed to control the vote in South Florida, was what she said.
Oh, that's what she said. To your knowledge, was this used?
I have no idea. I was ready to leave. I was tired and left the company.
Your testimony a moment ago, I think you said just before you left and answered the Congresswoman Tucker Jones question, would you just repeat what you said in terms of the exit polls?
Oh, the exit polls should not be significantly different than the vote.
And if they were, you would conclude what?
I would conclude someone playing with the vote.
Now with the exit polls?
That's possible too.
Okay,
something is definitely skewed.
Something is skewed in one or the other.
Right. To select which one, you'd have to see where the problem is.
Let me ask you one further question. Assuming for the moment that such software, that's what you call it, such software to rig a vote was used in one or more machines in Ohio or in Florida, could you today detect that if you looked at the source code?
If you get the machines and they have not been patched yet, once they get in and touch them, anything can happen. You can also set timers to do that, but then you see the timers. Then you'd have to take those machines, decompile them, which I couldn't do, but possibly a Microsoft, an MIT, something could do. You might be able to see it.
You might.
Not depends on how good they are at destroying what they had.
Destroying what they had by canceling this machine afterwards or by programming it to destroy instruction in the first place.
Right, because since you didn't
vote, either or both.
You didn't actually see what's in there, so you don't know if the code is running in a single executable or running in various modules. If it's running modules, you can make the code actually eat itself.
Let me ask you one further question. I've been told that people who assume that lots of the election results, or that a large fraction of the election results in the state may have been affected by deliberate fraud in the computer.
Anyway, so that's the story. We keep getting this, and nobody's out there to prosecute these nasty bastards. This is a story that's really incredible. Greg Palast, he's a reporter for the BBC, at one time one of the greatest respected journalists in America. Now CNN dislikes him because he's so honorable. Now, I know he's never said anything about me disparagingly, but I know he's going to have some profound disagreements with my position here. So be it. I'll say he's a phenomenon unto himself. But listen, miraculously, somehow, in some way, Karl Rove was sending him his emails. Karl Rove was committing criminal theft of an American presidential election and was sending Greg Palast his top secret messages to his troops. Greg Palast was freaked out. No, he's much better to speak on this than I am, because I haven't had a lot of time to research it. But it has been proven that this, in fact, is the case. Karl Rove played a personal part in rigging an election in America. So if Karl Rove goes unarrested, these elections mean nothing. You need a paper ballot. You know, it's like that, like he gave in testimony. It's the algorithm isn't a top secret thing. It's the same thing with VLTs. The TV people, CNN, CBC, and your local radio station make it like it's a God's world. You cannot, even he mentioned, you got to be like an MIT Microsoft guy to decompile this code. But, you know, there's other ways of coming about solutions. We learn this through algebra. You can actually form concrete conclusions with the facts that are available. But knowing that Karl Rove purposefully with criminal intent worked to fix the election twice, and we have the evidence, this guy's telling us they commissioned to create a program to rig the election. And in your mind, according to CNN reality or neocon reality, you're expected to find out and go, well, you know, if it was true, somebody would have prosecuted. It's against the law to torture someone. In America, under your current standing law, you're put to death. Kofor Black is put to death. He's put to death. He confesses to torturing innocent people. He's put to death. He kidnaps children, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old. He says he can do whatever he wills with them because he's fighting on America's behalf. He's lawless, and he's brought no formal charges against these two young children, a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. They've disappeared in his custody. He's not a police officer. He's not a member of the American military. He owns his own private company. And he's kidnapped these children. He confesses to relentlessly torturing a man he says is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Now, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's wife and his kids were saying he died a long time ago. He was murdered right in front of themselves. So he's been torturing this guy continuously for almost 5 years to tell us about how he's responsible for every terrorist act that's occurred. Now, Kofor Black alleges he's still alive. Let's see this guy, because his wife and children say he died a long time ago, before. But they've been torturing this guy who admits under torture, yeah, he did all these crimes, he's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, please stop hurting him this way. And you have this Mormon, this guy who says he's a man of God, running for presidential election. This guy is like a monster. He wants more Guantanamo. He doesn't want people to have access to court systems or lawyers. See, if you blame these foreigners for criminal acts and you say they don't deserve the same protections you own, how are you going to know for sure you got the bad guy then, right? They'll say the Taliban did it. They don't need no lawyers. We don't need a judge. We'll just execute them and the investigation's over. This is what Kofor Black is doing to America. He admits he's committing these crimes that warrant the death sentence. Currently, the standing law of America. Who's going to put the bullet in his head as a traitor enemy? Who's going to do it? Seriously, what judge is going to make the proper assessment on his criminality and put him to death? Fort Rightly. Right now, he's kidnapped these children. Return these children. A 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, Kofor Black has kidnapped. Now, you might ask yourself, as an enemy of life, so what? They're not American kids. I don't fucking care. You're not an American. Any American who says he's an American, who says Kofor Black shouldn't be put to death, is an enemy of Christ, is an enemy of Allah, is an enemy of Hillel, is an enemy of every religious person out there, and is also an enemy of every atheist. But atheists are generally more stupid than the general populace, right? They don't have understandings yet on the reality of uncertainty. They don't understand science in respect to electromagnetic energy, quantum particle effects, or quantum effects, I should say. Particle could be interpreted thusly that way also. It's a very interesting branch of science. They are terrified of that. It's all bad. It's all good. No, life is more nuanced. And when you understand uncertainty, you know you are a part of the universe. Now, you don't have to believe in a God, but you're of the order to chaos, which is more than a six-dimensional property of life ourselves that we can witness is intelligent. We can see it's intelligent. We are intelligence. We can see life is not just chaos. The order to things is brought to be so for harmony's sake. It appears to be harmony from our plane or as we live with ourselves in space-time. But you can see there's an intelligence. It's not your present understanding. You're of a universe unbound. And it's not separate from who you truly are. God is amazing to grant you such a gift that you hold in disdain, that you forsake as just your neighbor. Just your neighbor's child that's getting hurt. Now what will America become? When your neighbor is yourself saying the same thing, who cares? You know, Enron made off with minimally $60 billion they were not required to pay back. They stole that cash. It was a criminal fraud. $60 billion minimum. I say it's a lot higher than that. So, but at least we have the direct evidence for $60 billion. You know, they fraudulently increased the cost of energy in California. Criminally so, not required to give your cash back. We need major reforms in American society so people start understanding. Good laws make good sense for good reason. You know, it was the losing to Hitler after World War II that brought us the hedge fund market. Before Hitler, it was against the law to do that. But they said, you know, Hitler won the war. All the biggest backers of Hitler either remained in America or came from Germany and hid out and are still hiding out, like Rumsfeld's G.D. Searle. And these Zionists who claim they hold greater Jewish rights than me. I'm the fucking king of Jews. Can you imagine this? I'm the king of Jews. I haven't even had this altercation yet with Israel. I'm so much looking forward to it. But can you imagine how fucking demonic these things are going to be who oppose me to tell me they're more of a Jew than myself? It's going to be one hell of a show, let me tell you. You know, have you heard about these children that the Zionists of Israel kidnapped and had executed, murdered in Israel? More than 100,000 toddlers they had executed. And you know why they did this? They were darker-skinned Jews. These are darker-skinned Jews. We don't want these toddlers surviving. We don't like Jews being represented by the darker races. Because then soon people will understand what's in the Old Testament. What's in the lost Dead Sea Scrolls that we found. That told us the lost tribes of Israel live in Ethiopia and they're black guys. Abraham's a black man. And he's a hemp farmer. Wicked ganja, man, I'm telling you. Wicked. Why must people in California go to prison for 25 years for having a fucking roach in their ashtray? What debilitating cause does marijuana bring us that deserves such abnormal, sadistic behavior be brought against the accused? When alcohol is freely available in America, and alcohol, you know, I know all the hazards of alcohol and drink the occasional beer, but, you know, being an alcoholic is very dangerous because we know what the effects are of alcohol poisoning. Now, you don't have to get alcohol poisoning to put you to death instantly, but a little bit of alcohol poisoning over and over can go a hell of a long way. Depletes zinc from your mind and has the effect of making it more and more difficult to ascertain what you just spoke. Your time restraints get smaller and smaller and smaller until every psych ward that we have, probably around the world, I know it's this way in North America, I don't know what it's like in Europe though, but pardon me. I know the psych wards here in North America, they have a specific ward for people who have been poisoned by alcohol. And they're forever like that. Once a certain amount of zinc is depleted from your mind through alcohol poisoning, your body can't manufacture it or bring it back to reintroduce it to bring stability. So they lose themselves, and so they have these specific words. That's a pretty dangerous thing. I know of no, you know, marijuana has its own effects. You know, it can be debilitating in that things become less structured. Your mind can be more chaotic, and it can be harder to concentrate. That's a negative thing. But not for everybody, and not all the time. And I'm certainly not advocating people smoke pot on a regular basis. I'm advocating people not be put into prison for 25 years, where you're spending, you know, in Arizona, I think it's like 38, it might even be higher, 52,000, you know, at least $30,000 a year, they want to incarcerate illegal aliens forever. They want to put them into prison for life because they, you know, they're trying to eke out an honest existence because they've been treated so badly in Mexico by America. It was Rockefeller himself who wrote the letter about how he was going to destroy the peso, and that's exactly what they did with Citigroup. He brags about this. It's not a theory. They told us exactly before they were going to do it that that's what they had intentions for, and they completed their task of destroying their economy, of overthrowing the democratic government. You know, the government there wasn't elected fairly. Remember, it was a fixed rigged election that CNN showed no concern to defend Mexicans over. Don't even mention it. Do you remember what happened in Haiti? They overthrew the democratically elected leader of Haiti. And why did they do that? He says, you know, why are we paying France? They have this situation. You know, the reason America didn't want him to succeed as an honorable democratically elected president, President Aristide, is because, yeah, that's right. Aristide is correct there. Why would you be paying France? It's the same situation America had with Vietnam. All the Vietnamese wanted was to be liberated. Why are they working and paying taxes to France? They're the Vietnamese who live in Vietnam. Why should they be indebted to France as a colony? And Ho Chi Minh sent a letter to America saying, you can sympathize with us. We're in the same situation Americans were with the British. So somewhat similar. Well, he put it more together, better articulated than I am right now. But, yeah, that's right. You know, why is it throughout our history, up until, you know, the Internet age of these last few decades, you know, that France has been able to push around people, including those of the nation? You know, the nation there up until now, I guess, I don't know what the, you know, they got lots of struggles there. There's lots of issues. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago where nations were going around just taking over another country, saying, you're our slaves. You're going to work in this nation, produce goods for us. We live in France. We're French people. And you're going to be slaves for us, and we're going to make you pay us half of your living wages. Now, if you disagree, we're just going to kill you because we've got big weapons. So that's what Vietnam was. Don't ever forget that, American Bush bitch Nazi punk. These fuckers who say they're Vietnam vets, so proud of what they did for freedom. Fucking Nazis. They just are. Find a soldier who's an honorable man. There's Ouattara. They should put a big monument up for Ouattara. He's the greatest American patriot of all time. He says he can't commit a criminal act. If it, you know, he was willing to go into Afghanistan. He's willing, hey, look, he'll commit war crimes against anybody else. But you can't send him to Iraq because it's officially acknowledged as a crime. Why are you killing people there? They're just demon lies. You know, but that should be 99.9999% of every American soldier serving should go, I'm not dying to commit criminal acts against an innocent peoples. Why are you stealing all their resources? Sure, the fucking demon Antichrist says, yeah, well, we're giving them oil revenues. Yeah, but you're stealing all their money. You robbed their central bank. You killed the police officers at the museum. You know, they go with cops to abuse kids. I've seen this on videotape where soldiers escort police services through Baghdad to beat up kids. So we're not getting involved, the soldiers asked by the reporter. Aren't you going to fucking kill this demon fuck? He's hurting somebody. What's his crime? I don't know. We're not getting involved. We just provide them protection to victimize innocent peoples. Us! That's the problem in America. You keep going, yeah, it's just the innocent Iraqis. More than 1 million people have been murdered by these demons. And now they're coming to a town near you, San Diego. Blackwater's taking over the police posts. They're going to be paid $1,200 a day. Does a cop get paid $1,200 a day? No. A cop, on general terms, is committed to defend your community because the cop is of your community, committed to those same protections. That defend his family, that defend his wife. Blackwater says they can murder, rape, pillage, steal your cash. You can't arrest them. because they're officially sanctioned, lawless fucking disciples. Do not accept it. No, under no circumstances form doubt in your mind and go, I'm going to let this Blackwater mercenary walk freely down my streets in America where I'm perfectly within my right to carry a concealed weapon. Do not accept that they steal your faith with such fucking craziness. There will be no lawlessness. That's Johnny's position for the presidential debates. Number two issue. There's no such thing as lawlessness. This is a fucking con game. Of those who, again, rape, pillage. Fuck, they blew up all the infrastructure of Iraq. Don't you think that that's a bad thing? I thought you said you were going there to help these individuals who are being brutally oppressed. Why would you blow up all their public infrastructure and then charge them fucking 1,000 times more than what it would cost to repair the damage? And then you bill the Iraqis for the repairs, of which don't even fucking get done. And as I said, I think earlier in the show, Canadians alone have spent more than $3 billion in cabal, and there's not a fucking paved road or a repaired house anywhere. The place looks like it's a war zone. Remember, they killed all the police officers. They said all police officers must be murdered in Afghanistan. They went out and hunted down all the police officers they could and had them executed, bombed. If they lived in a town, they'd kill everybody in the town. And you're saying that they're freedom fighters? NATO? You're going to form doubt in your mind and not join my voice and chorus to demand these demons be arrested for war crimes? You have no justification for bombing these people. Even if you believe their demon lies, they have no justification. Even if this person was a member of some group that called themselves the Taliban, associated to Al-Qaeda, any person in Afghanistan is perfectly within their rights to defend the freedoms of Christians by killing NATO members who do not defend innocent Christians in Afghanistan, who do not defend children's rights to go to school. You know, the Taliban aren't going to blow up their own children at school, considering the Taliban had a girls' school program. See, that's what NATO does. They don't care about that part of it, eh? They don't want you to know about it either.
You know, we can never forget that Saddam Hussein was not found in violation of UN Resolution 1441. You know, it's a scary thing, but it's a reality. I mean,
the United Nations is also involved in an oil for food scam, which just sent a Texas oil billionaire to prison.
I'll have to read up on that for sure. But it wasn't, like Ron Paul had said, it was a UN resolution that got us into the war, and that's clearly not the case, because the UN has declared it a war crime because of the fact that Saddam wasn't in violation. You had complete unrestricted access to go wherever you please without delay. So by bombing the country, you've only...
The Security Council resolution, I believe Ron Paul is pointing to, is one that puts the use of force into possible... What's the word I'm looking for? To make it possible to use force if he doesn't comply. And that was what even the United Nations was saying at the time, that he wasn't complying with their UN inspectors. You see where I'm going?
That's, I mean, it's, you know, I you can argue all the way back through history, but the resolution that was in front of our faces before the bombing campaign began, the last report was March the 7th, 2003, mm-hmm. Blix says we have complete unrestricted access to go wherever you please. They were looking under chicken coops. They'd been through all the palaces. So by bombing the country, you're only lowering your ability to move about and to seek out said weaponry. Yeah. But, of course, we knew that they didn't have any weaponry. But the reason I called was because of CNN's coverage of the new Bin Laden video. Have you read this story at all?
I've been following it a little bit. I don't take much stock in these Bin Laden things, but he did, I guess, again, admit that he was involved in 9/11 in this particular video.
Yeah, and the critical thing here is he's taking full responsibility single-handedly. And of course, we have to ask ourselves three principal questions. One, how did he get the explosives into Building 7, for example? Two, how did Bin Laden personally convince Bush and Cheney, as was reported by MSNBC, Tom Daschle was interviewed on this question, how did Bin Laden convince Bush and Cheney personally to close outstanding criminal investigations immediately after the terrorist event of question? Immediately after the event goes down, Bush and Cheney diligently worked to close criminal investigations. So if Bin Laden says he did it all completely single-handedly, and Bush believes that, and CNN does also, that means he would have had to be dragging his dialysis machine into Building 7 to set the explosives, and that seems highly unlikely. Yeah, maybe he did. I mean, we have to ask him the ingenious ways he was able to pull.
Maybe Bin Laden used his connections with NORAD to have NORAD stand down. Maybe Bin Laden helped plan the drills that were running simultaneously that day.
So for CNN to tell you that, and then lastly, how did Bin Laden convince somebody at the White House, got to be Rover Bush, how did he convince those guys to doctor the National Intelligence Estimate? And here's the chance. Instead of trying to blame the UN, blame the White House for doctoring the National Intelligence Estimate that he gave to members of Congress. Now, we learned from the CIA that they took the CIA's report, reworded critical sentences, removed entire paragraphs to lie America into a war, to sacrifice your kids, again, for no better good or reason understood, because you've only lowered your abilities. You're making it more difficult to bring freedom to Iraqis. And particularly,
the surge is working.
What's that?
The surge is working now. We're winning the war.
Well, yeah, and everybody dies. You know, all these American kids are dead, and they're continually going to die. And now, of course, as you heard, Bush just pushed a couple days ago, it's a permanent war now. There's no end. Absolutely no end. We're going to stay there for minimally 30 years to steal their resources, which they're taking more than half of the profits.
Yeah, we have 30-year contracts on the oil there.
Yeah, and Americans are tricked. You're made to think, well, good, like I've heard Art Bell say similar words. Well, good, you know, we'll benefit from this. But these multinational oil corporations will just as soon kill your kids as they do in Nigeria or any other third-world dictatorship when it comes down to where the dollars are going. If they, as Dutch Shell has been convicted for, or we have the documents anyway, they'll charter attack helicopters and mow down villagers in Nigeria if you bitch and complain about air toxicity, you know, mercury going into your food or into your blood veins. They don't like those kind of things. And these are supposed to be your friends. Your kids, your American soldiers are going to sacrifice their lives for these thieves who are stealing all the resources.
Well, let me hold you there, John, and I appreciate your editorial there. You sound very passionate, and you brought a lot to the program. So that was a good take. I got to keep moving, though, because everybody wants to get in. Vern in Minnesota, you're up. Go for it.
John, welcome to the show. You want to weigh in on the teddy bear story as well?
Yeah, well, I'll try anyway. You know, peace be upon him, they say, Muhammad. This argument is like they call it a straw man argument. There's no Muslim leader that would support that kind of behavior. You're advocating the victimization of an innocent woman in an act that indicates love. Children love teddy bears. So, I mean, it's defeated instantly. But our problem is Muslim leaders are always forbidden to discuss such matters, you know? And it's got to do with Afghanistan. I mean, we had the Christian that was threatened for death in Afghanistan, and Canadian forces just refused to offer the individual protection or even speak in his own defense. I mean, we have women being persecuted, or heroin pushers, actually, even worse, and Canadian soldiers still. They don't speak in our interest to defend Canada. We caught a big shipment of heroin coming into Vancouver. Soldiers speak nothing. They don't even check the airplanes. But we're told that Islam or those who support jihad are evil people. And the teaching is, be just. I mean, if the reason we can't face this and we suffer and die is because the Taliban honorably demanded evidence to form our conclusions. We went in faith supporting Bush while the Taliban said, form your own mind. As the Quran teaches, you play a part in your own perceptions, so try to be just, because every sentence is, they say God is a word, every sentence can be torn apart into infinity.
What are you saying, John, when Muslim leaders on the ground in Sudan, for example, can't speak against the treatment of this British school teacher? Why can't they?
Just as I said right now, like, your show is great because we're talking about God, but imagine me just speaking in defense of the Taliban to say, support the FBI's formal conclusion. Don't go in faith. Try to understand what your mind is. I will be, you'll think, don't listen to him speak. And I'm not a member of the Taliban. I'm just speaking on a thing that we both share equally. It doesn't matter what political faction or religious philosophy I follow. If we're going to understand ourselves in communicating with each other, we're going to need, especially when you're going to execute somebody or put somebody behind bars. You have to have evidence to form your conclusion.
We're not talking generalities. Do you agree with the way that school teacher is being treated?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Why can't other people feel the same as you on the ground in Sudan say the same thing?
Anybody who believes in God would. You look at Saudi Arabia. They say they respect the Quran, but the Quran teaches that Genesis through Deuteronomy is the word of God. Muhammad says these are texts divinely inspired through God, and if you don't respect these individuals, you're not going to go to paradise, because you must treat, if you want the heaven on earth, you have to treat people equitably, fairly, all people. That's the teachings of Muhammad. And Islamic scholars...
John, for weighing in on the issue, wow. I like your point, Greg, sort of simplifying it all to say, and John has raised the question really well in terms of where do we speak and how do we speak. Your point is, if you see injustice, open your mouth. Yeah, open your mouth. And it's not a, it could be anywhere, right? Yeah. And that's the takeaway from this thing for me, like what you're saying right now. When I go into a workplace, when I go down the street, would I actually open my mouth if I see something that is unjust? Let's go to the line. Rufus, welcome to God Talk.
Hey, Stephen.
As you're well aware, as the president and CEO of Share Where Earth Go, the King of Israel, I am wishing to partake in your presidential debates. And of course, I'm not running for president. I want to challenge these guys' ideas. They don't know what they're talking about. Nobody there is qualified. I support Kucinich. Ron Paul, I support partly. He's a libertarian, so he's exactly what the Bush mob was in respect to just about everything. He wants to destroy the government. He doesn't want any accountability. I don't see it necessarily as a conscious thing. I see it as a weakness thing. Libertarians are just stupid that way. They are. You know, no laws. We have to compete in a free market. What are you going to lose to slave labor? You know, you wouldn't allow a store to compete against your store if they had slave labor there, because you know you're going to lose. So we have laws to protect our rights. If you're going to compete with, say, China, as it was prior to Clinton, they were required not to beat their employees or kill people for all kinds of stupid, lame excuses. It's a totalitarian socialist state. You know, they say they're socialists, but it's all about beating people down and stealing their money and stealing their lives. You know, stealing body organs and shit like that. Fuck, they're evil. But the problem is, they have no leadership, and it's a very big country. The people of China are awesome. It's a great culture with many... maybe I'm coming down too hard on the government. I know the problem is communication. We don't have people as smart as Johnny all over the place. In fact, Johnny's one-of-a-kind miracle man. You know, the king of the gods. Not only is a god, but he's the king of gods. The god guy. Been around hell of a long time. But, and I understand, you know, why China's banned religion. You know, it was only, in the 50s or whatever. 57, I think it was. You know, or 1999 was the date the Pope finally admitted that the earth is round. But the Pope's been pretty good. I've listened to him on Christmas there. He sounds pretty good. You know, let's hope this Christ guy shows up and helps us understand indivisible freedoms that we all cherish somehow in our dreams to bring about a better future where our best and brightest succeed. Not by how much money they have, but by the skills they possess. So again, presidential debates. We want justice for 9/11. These fuckers murdered thousands of Americans and think they're just going to walk away from the crime scene. General Ahmad financed the terrorist operations of 9/11. Here's my question to Coast, if George Norrie and his fucking Nazi censors would allow me to speak freely. I would say, is there any American out there that doesn't believe the guy who financed 9/11 should just continually walk away free unapprehended? That's the challenge I would have. And the soldier that would come forward and say yes, I'll tell you, it won't be me. It'll be that soldier's father that'll shoot him in the head. That soldier's brother will shoot him in the head. That soldier's neighbor will shoot him in the head. Blackwater mercenaries cannot be allowed to police our streets as lawlessly unaccountable rapists, thieves, and murderers. Come on. Understand, faith or doubt is an ever-present property of our moment. You can always find doubt. You can always create an excuse. Okay? Now, this is why you have laws. You know, these are the very basic principles of civilization that apparently nobody understands. You know, we did about 10 years ago or so, it seemed, or even through Clinton, it seemed to be pretty much understood to some degrees. Of course, there was criminal operations that occurred during his administration also. Nothing as sinister as Bush is, committing mass murder on such a global scale. They bombed downtown Belgrade, if you'd forgotten, 78 days, and they had video footage out there, if you recall. Everybody was running from the bombs. They were just indiscriminately killing anybody and everyone, except for the military installations where the fucking tanks were. You know, they bomb everybody but the tanks. Like, oh yeah, that's smart. But, you know, there could be some other things going on, but that's the most, you know, and then you have, you know, the FBI being thwarted over and over and over again. It's always the same mechanism as it is in Britain with Peter Power committing the London bombings of 7/7. We are change.uk. My brothers in arms, my pals, my best friends. Well, we don't have to be friends. I mean, you know, I think you're awesome. And it's unfortunate that the We Are Change US doesn't support them, really. You know, well, maybe Peter Power didn't do it. Well, that's what I'm getting at. Alan Dershowitz, during the Twinkie trials, is where a guy says, you know, I killed some people or whatever, but it's because I had a Twinkie. It's the Twinkie's fault, right? Again, it's that nature of excuses, and you can argue it. You could, and he did. He did argue it. But Alan Dershowitz was there, and he says, listen, you people don't understand. There's always an excuse. You know, and that's as far as he went. But, I mean, he's right. There's always an excuse, and that's why the law's there. It's like a guy says to me, okay, John, I killed all these helpless, defenseless families. I raped a young daughter in front of her father, set her on fire, and then shot the father in the head. I don't get executed. I'm lucky to even fucking serve a couple of years in prison. You know, Grainer's out now, right? This guy beat to death elderly people he had hogtied on the floor. There's over 1,000 photographs of his wicked demon crimes. He sent photographs to his children. He wrote letters to his children about how much he enjoyed torturing innocent people to death that they had kidnapped. Again, and he's out. But anyway, this guy, and he says he's got no remorse. He loved what he did, and he wrote so. He loved doing it. No remorse, no regret. He loves the fact that being an American soldier, American people are too weak to defend themselves from such a monster as his conduct showed us, with all the evidence included. I mean, no regrets, no remorse. He's out. He's tortured elderly people. And children, too, he had in his custody. He stomped on their all kinds of horrible fucking shit. And this guy's out now. 5-year prison term. But he comes up to me and he says, I'm saying, you know, hypothetically, he says, you know, I feel bad about what I did. I thought more about it and I read some books and stuff and I've become more literate and understand that freedom is an important thing because it's what all life is, to be cherished, to be appreciated. You know, you don't know freedom of conscience when, if you're not a part of any kind of direct criminal investigation, you can freely do whatever you wish as long as you don't infringe on anybody else's life, and you can walk free down the streets as it was prior. Now in New York City, police officers aren't required to have probable cause. Now, probable cause, as many of the things in the Constitution, which is why I support Ron Paul in this respect, but will he let those debates happen, though? That's the trick, eh? For truth to prevail, you know, that's the trick. If there's no debate, like, look at the libertarians on Free Talk Live. They mindlessly support just exactly what Bush did to Iraq. You know, the Heritage Foundation wrote their strategy for Iraq was to ensure that anybody who was to hold up a position of public influence through the government, it's mandatory that they be total incompetent at that task but for only solely to understand that they'll support you politically, no questions asked. So what we had in Iraq were a bunch of people that hate government, want to get rid of government, want to put it all into private people's hands, and that's what you get as a consequence of supporting Ron Paul blindly and not understanding that these issues are really important, okay? We can't follow him blindly. Now, we got Alex Jones supporting him full tits, man. He's our savior in hiding, and he's the guy from V for Vendetta, yeah. You know, we're all of Christ. You know, don't hide from me. It's a stupid thing. I don't understand it. You know, well, I do understand it. You're being a fucking idiot by not supporting me. I'm supporting the protection of innocent families. I'm supporting your family. I'm actually supporting you, but you're too fucking stupid to pay attention. Look, we cannot allow these guys who committed the crimes of 9/11 to walk away scot-free, telling us we don't need evidence to form our conclusions any longer. Okay, that's the Dark Ages for sure. 1074, Gregory the Seventh kind of started the whole thing off. I can talk about it another day. I recommend Peter Rosa. He wrote a book called The Dark Side of the Papacy. All due respect to the current Pope, you know, and all the other great popes that have been there, you know, at different possible points in our history. But that's an excellent book, and you can understand, you know, it, like I say, it's only been to, like, we've sort of liberated ourselves from the Roman Catholic Church in about 1957, and even in 57, they were still pushing for power, you know, politically, not to serve a just cause, but to serve their own personal private interests of the victimization of innocent others. That's ancient history, okay, but that was what that whole situation was about. And ensuring that people do not become wise on their own, because then you'll learn you're being exploited, and Christ is going to rule ourselves as an equal. You know, at the same time, I'm a very special character here. I'm a living, breathing person. I actually kind of know God. It's not what you think God is, though. I'm telling you, George Norrie and all these people, they want to romanticize it, and it's all, it's not like that. Okay? You can create a moment with God at any time. You can have but God's busy. God's a million people all at the same time, suffering, getting killed indiscriminately by Bushite bombers. Have you seen some of these videos? There's thousands of videos, and I'm noticing a lot of the videos are actually distributed by the Defense Department. Now, that's out of the Pentagon. It's very curious. You know, I would consider you to think this through, that the Pentagon wants to ensure that Americans see these war crimes over and over and over again. I've seen unbelievable crimes occurring. These Bushite grunts, they're just shooting everybody on the... These snipers, they're sitting there shooting everybody they see, and they're talking for like 20 minutes, and you hear them talking about all the people they're shooting. That guy's wearing a white shirt. Shoot him. He's under that over there. Shoot at that guy. Is that guy carrying a flag? That's a green flag. Shoot him. We are supposed to kill all people who are associated to the green flag. He actually says that in the video, and they're just picking people off. And he's got a super scope, you know. They're probably fucking 2 miles away. And he says it's just a chicken shoot. You know, they're shooting unarmed people, fucking standing on walls, walking down streets. Then there's other videos where they're just, the guy says, shoot the bus, you know. And there's just some bus driving because they got these super scopes or they got this huge terrain to look at. And there's no reason, just shoot that bus. And they shoot the bus and all the people inside are getting fucking covered in bullets, and the soldiers going, oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, they blow up civilians in buses. You know? Do you understand? You know, they used to tar and feather people, and you don't hear much about it because, you know, you died. You know, all these people are being murdered, more than 200,000 minimal. That's a very, very conservative number. It's probably more in excess of 300,000, but minimally 200,000 unarmed, innocent civilians were murdered, mass murdered. They went house to house slaughtering families. The guys who did the Haditha crimes, they had just come out of Fallujah when they went in and slaughtered those defenseless, innocent young girls, young boys, women and men. They had just come out of there. Now, in Fallujah, they killed everybody they could find. They wouldn't, first of all, they wouldn't let anybody out of the city. You weren't allowed to leave the city. And they told the people who were in the city, they said, listen, we're just getting Zakari. So, you know, don't freak out or nothing. And they sat out there for 3 months. Not one person in Fallujah fired a shot at them, even though they had circled the city. But they had said, we're going to get Zakari. You know? Wouldn't let anybody out. They said, well, we'll let some women out if they want to leave, but hey, we're getting Zakari. Because 8-year-old children would walk up to a soldier and say, what's going on, man? And the soldier would say, no need to worry, young lad. We're just going to get some bad guys. Go back to your family. Oh, praise America, the young child would scream. Praise America! Thank God you got rid of Saddam Hussein. We were so badly oppressed. I can't wait to go to university after we rebuild the facilities. And all the PhD holders are gone now. But we're gonna carry on. Thank you. Thank you. And the young child walks away and the soldier's beaming. He's so happy. Because that's what Sattler, that's what Sattler told that soldier. Sattler told the soldiers that were circled the city, said, listen, we're getting Zakari, we got top secret intelligence that I can't tell you about, in face, man, never mind the Constitution, never mind evidence to form our minds of something or another. No, you go blindly in this war of terror. You know, they killed everybody in the city. And now they come back. CNN did a special, you know. The heroes, they're talking about these demons. Like, they almost grenaded every single house in the city. Almost all the houses were completely destroyed. Because they'd throw these big grenades that would blow the sides of the walls of the house out, and the roof would fall in on the defenseless, innocent family that was inside. You know? And now they want the same. Not only do these demons come back, right? And so does Blackwater. And they're not changing any fucking rules about raping women. Now, and CNN said, no, they're heroes. And now these heroes are coming back, and I'm telling you, my friends, don't fall for the illusion. You know, these things kill people indiscriminately. To steal your money, to rape your children, and say you can't find them because they all hide behind Blackwater, the label Blackwater. You know, that it doesn't work with Blackwater. That you can apply that to a nation because that's where people are of, and the structuring civilization or civilized state is under threat, even if you're a bad guy too. You know, Hitler, look what happened to Germany. Okay, it's a different thing when Blackwater says you won't gun them all down individually because they're all despicably evil. They all know that there's rapists within their ranks that they don't kill themselves. They know there's rapists within their ranks and they don't say, I demand these fuckers be put to death. Anybody who rapes an American woman wearing a Blackwater uniform needs to be put to death. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Okay? That's what we're talking about. But they don't do that. They don't do that. No. They want that money. They'll give you videos. We've caught individuals dressed up as Al-Qaeda in a car filled with explosives, killing police officers. Okay? Now, just think about that in America. That's what they're doing. We caught them red-handed, arrested them. We know their names. You know, but in your mind, you go, I want to live with the illusion. I want to live in CNN George Norrie fantasy world. Okay? And each day, America's rights further erode to a position where they are now, where it's you're pretty much a police state. You have no probable... The officers are not... They have to be required to have probable cause. Otherwise, these cases, they're going to lose, and we're going to countersue with the laws on our side to know you're not going to infringe on our liberties here. You're going to go after bad guys. You're going to support Johnny's call, even if you dislike him personally. You don't like Johnny's attitude. You don't like Johnny for this. You don't like Johnny for that. You're going to support Johnny on his position stance to demand the 9/11 perpetrators be brought to justice. You see, it doesn't matter whether you support me or otherwise, that same position we'll agree to. Now, like it's with Ron Paul and it's with all the libertarians and it's with Alex Jones, I have fundamental disagreements with him on health care. He doesn't understand it. That's my position. He's a great, honorable man. He's greater at other in other respects than myself. I freely admit that, as that's our natures. Perhaps I've spent more time on Social Security. Perhaps I'm more willing to admit that I don't even know what I'm talking about, you know? But in the case of genetics, I find 99% in agreement with Alex Jones and can even add more to his arguments to say we do understand science. The science of genetics well enough to know what we're doing is wrong. You know, they'll use a cauliflower mosaic virus, which is a deadly virus to mammals. Cauliflower mosaic virus. They'll use it as a vector to introduce herbicides into potatoes. Okay? So you just eat the herbicide yourself, instead of having to spray it, they'll put it right into the potato. Or pesticide, I should say. It's a pesticide. So that way you eat the pesticide, and it's the molecular structure of a pesticide. And they introduce it into the DNA structure of the potato through the cauliflower mosaic virus. Now, what those who use science to hurt us, to steal from us, to kill us, do is they demand, and this is why they kill people like this. This is the sadistic nature of why they commit these kind of crimes, like mercury in children's veins to cause irreparable brain damage. Why? I'll tell you why. This is the reason why. No, it might be subconscious partly, and it might be conscious. But here's the reason why. Life is multidimensional. It's not a linear design. They demand it be linear, and that's why they hate us. That's why they want to hurt us, because they fear the fact that they know the world is so much greater and don't want us to achieve, don't want us to compete on fair grounds, because they would lose. They haven't done anything with their own pathetic lives. And sometimes they're not that pathetic, but it's relative. Like, all these perceptions of self and perceptions of external are all part of deception. You're none of these things. But all, too. I mean, you know, who are you then, man? You know, unbound. Unbound. And then what does it bring you back to? Well, you know, you want happiness. You want to be able to communicate to people. I hate talking to people who are robots. I'm scared of it too, man. And I'm generally not, you know, I've seen a lot of horrible things, man. And the scariest thing is listening to a person who talks exactly the way they're programmed. You know, Saddam Hussein did 9/11, you know. And my child died for a freedom operation in Afghanistan, fighting for heroin pushers, Muslim fundamentalist heroin pushers that practice Sharia law. That's what my son died for. Prior, under the Taliban, there was no heroin productions. You'd be fucking risking your life. Not that that's the right approach, but there was no more heroin coming out of there. Okay? Now, they were fighting for women's rights. Girls could go to school. Women were working at the newspapers, working in healthcare clinics. In fact, one woman was running the healthcare clinic. No problem with the Taliban. You know, they had problems. They had, you know, you have guys like Oberman. You know, he's got to try to justify why he hasn't defended America differently. Like, why aren't you paying attention to Johnny? But in his mind, he's suggested that the Taliban committed horrific crimes against women just because they're women, or... Oh, they put nail polish on their fingernails. That's what he said. But that doesn't justify you allowing Bush to escape for the crimes of mass murder in New York City. He just killed a bunch of Americans, Oberman. You're fantastic, man. He's said so many great things. So he is our shining star. He's the guy. He's awesome. But then look at that. You know, because we won't demand justice for ourselves, so many bad things happen as a consequence. You know, and I know how these mechanisms work. Everything feeds off others. You know, we're all under states of suggestion. To wake up, to be, you know, cognizantly aware of what's going on, is to understand we're living partly in a dream. It's kind of, you know, you can understand that you play a part in the perceptions you see, and they can be different from somebody else's, and yet you're sharing the same reality. You know, you can be talking to, have you read these are rare. They're rare because, you know, we're all of God and we all want to kind of understand ourselves. But this is rare, but this can happen where you're talking to somebody and you're having a discussion and then you realize, well, we're actually talking about something different. And yet we're the same in our own ways. You know, and when you dance around with that, and then you or you can if you want, you know, in 1,000 years or whatever, you people, you know, you got a lot of long way to go. You can start building relationships with the universe yourself, all alone, you know, and try to humor God, you know, because God's, you know, got it pretty tough. Not humor God, but I mean, you know, if you can sympathize with God's struggle here, you know, God's not going to talk to you directly. Okay? Ever? That would only... You know, I guess you can have... I'm not going to say what God can do. God can do whatever God wants to do, which is a property of yourself. But don't expect, you know, it's you're one of this life. You are of. It's like we're a cell. You know, look, we got 4 trillion cells in the human body. Just think of yourself as one cell on the body of life. You know? Now, do you want to kill the cells that are next to you? Just so you can give them a bit more blood, maybe? A bit more fat? Or give it cancer? Kill that cell next door? You know? And then what if the body? What if I see, or you see, what if we see that there's a fucking disease or something? These Bushites, they can't fucking reason their way out of a paper bag. That, seriously, it is a wound that we must face directly, publicly speaking, openly and honestly. These things cannot even hold conversations, minimally, but for to talk about baseball and not well, and their favorite football team. Like, who gives a fucking rat's ass, man? Life is more than that. You know, that's all they are. And then fuck shit. Hoo-yah! Hoo-yah! You know, that's all they are. There's nothing there. They have no skills. They have no strength. And you say, well, yeah, but they're soldiers. They'll kill people. That's right. Who are they killing? They say they're warring for women's rights in Afghanistan. None of them speak for the interests of defending women in Afghanistan. Not like Omar the Just could have or would have if a member of the Taliban said, women shouldn't work. We're Muslim fundamentalists. Somebody must have been there to say, well, no, women are us. Haven't you read the Quran? There's nothing in the Quran about what you're talking about. Where did you hear that? On CNN? You know? Christine Lampour the whore or whatever? Come on. I mean, these are human beings. I mean, there's, you know, there's good and bad all over. Okay? But, you know, if we're going to fight for freedom in Afghanistan, let's ensure that the students have more than a single... It was on the news on CBC last night. They're saying children have, like, but one piece of paper to write with. They have to write softly in pencil and erase it all. And yet, CBC forbids Canadians to know 85% of the charitable aid we're donating to that country is being stolen each month. It can't be accounted for. Nobody can say it's gone. Sorry, man. What are you going to do about it? NDP party members sent press releases to CBC about a year and a half ago, outlining this issue, outlining the evidence, going down and talking to these people. They're saying, yeah, the money's gone. What are you going to do about it? You know, CBC doesn't want to tell you that. There are members in our federal government that do want Canadians to understand that we're losing ground here if we're just going to throw our money into the wind. 85% of it's just disappeared. I don't know. No, soldiers are busy doing something else right now, bombing people, because they say the Taliban were over there. Who is the Taliban? The Taliban asked for evidence to form your conclusion. You know nothing. You know, but the nearest place to fucking get some steroids. So we're in a mess here. I want to participate in this presidential debate. I want to turn things around. I want America to understand. All you got to do is compare your healthcare system to any other country on earth. Just look at, or better to pick some of the better ones, you know, France or Canada, and just add the fucking money. That's what the TV never tells you about. Just add the money. You're paying twice as much per capita than everybody else does. Okay? The money doesn't have... There's no middleman in all these other countries. How did we manage to figure that out? And here's something so seriously important for Americans to know. I have... Nobody in Canada... You know, this is the thing that Canadians are shocked with, I'm sure. I don't know this to be certain, but I can imagine there's a tremendous amount of Canadians who... And we all get American television, right? So I can imagine there's... Who knows? Millions and millions of Canadians who are familiar with America telling yourselves about how horrible our healthcare system is, and there's no waiting lines anywhere. I've never heard of even serious waiting lines. But for some non-essential surgeries that can be held off, that we need to improve upon. You know, it isn't born overnight into a system of miraculous wonder through science. It's a process. Okay, but in America, you got middlemen that take all of your money. Insurance companies. J.W. Smith, about 30 years ago, wrote at great length on this. You know, the thing... Well, I'm not quoting him here, okay? This is what I got from his book. It's been a while since I've read that book. World's Wasted Wealth. Fantastic book, but... From what I recall, he talks about the unfortunate consequence of Americans not understanding that 70% of the money you pay for your insurance goes to the company who's collecting the policies or collecting the cash for the policies. 70%. And it's that you don't understand what that means, that you suffer. And if you think about it, you know, you and five guys in your block want to put in $50 each, or $10 each. So if one of you get in some trouble near the end of the month and it's pretty serious, you know, we're going to maybe lose your car, your house, you can take that $50 and save your ass if you need it. Otherwise, it's going to sit there and it'll be a little insurance policy for us. So it's like $100, right? So Paul, he says, well, I'll hold the cash in my place. And they say, you're going to hold the cash at your place? Yeah, I'm going to hold it over here. So Paul holds it over at his place, $50, right? Now, 70% of 100 is $70. Now, 50 is half of 100, so I just have to divide 70 by 2. That's 35. So 35 of 50. So Paul is going to say, okay... Now, you needed the cash, okay, but I'm taking $35 for office work and stuff and paperwork and stuff. They go, $35? You mean you're going to give me $15, but I needed $50. Now I'm fucked. And the insurance companies, anytime there's been any kind of bad disaster, the government goes in and pays for everything. So what we need to do is we need to understand... Or Americans need to understand, you know, you could be managed so much more efficiently, and no money would go into a middleman's pocket if it was run by somebody you hired yourself. You know, the government is of yourselves. if it's accountable to yourselves, corruption isn't going to occur because you'll be there to engage in debate, in dialogue, to bring forward the better rights, to improve our dying situations. Remember, soldiers are dying. The suicides that we learned through CBS were minimally 140 a week. Okay, the TV's still telling us about this 3,800 thing, and they still do it. They'll still pretend even CBS will do it. You know? And yet, you know, but 30,000 suicides, I don't know how that happened. You know? And then I've told you already in other shows, you know, I know that they're hiding the deaths of combat so they don't have to pay the family's insurance money, you know, because they don't have to give the family $300,000 if your kid just died at the hospital or died in an accident or something. You know, so how many soldiers have died not in combat but, you know, going out or coming back, you know? Who knows? Well, we do know. It's over. It was. I don't know whether those suicides are a part of that number, though. So, but I know it was about 47,000 about a year ago. So, you know, holy fuck. These Bushites are falling down dead like flies. But for what? For nothing. Your kids died for nothing except for the hopes that you might have got that insurance payment. You know, if you loved your child, why don't you say, my child will not die, forsaken by Christ. My son will have given his life to finally have America wake up to believe. Evidence is a prerequisite to convince yourselves of something. That's what your son has died for. To bring about a state of awareness where you understand what freedom is. So, you know, your son didn't die forsaken. You just were too busy doing something else, probably being entertained. Probably being entertained. And it's a, you know, we only have so much time in the day. All these things are huge issues. Like, we deal with Social Security. I want to have a presidential debate on Social Security. Bush took $700 billion out of the account. We want that money back. It's a trust fund. You're not supposed, you can't take money out of there. You have to do what with willy-dilly? Realize, again, just like J.W. Smith would have taught you if you had paid attention about insurance, I will teach you about Social Security. The government comes to you and says, look, we're taking this money from you for Social Security. Okay? They don't say, we're taking it, the justification for us taking this money is for Social Security. We're going to put it in our own pockets instead. It's just going to disappear, and nobody's going to be held accountable for it. So pay up. You know? Because that's what he's saying. And no, I don't think so. I don't think Americans support that, actually, George. Can I call you George? You know? The accounts, you're getting less than about 2% on your returns. So you've got trillions of dollars in the bank. Don't you think you should get more than 2%? Well, no, because private bankers need to skim off the cash for themselves. So all that money is ill-gotten gains taken while we were left forsaken by politicians who figured they'd be better off privately serving someone else's interests other than our own, the nation, of freedom cherished by all peoples, committed to equality. No matter where you are, man, you don't own freedom.